The next stop is Knickerbocker Avenue.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's Fortune 500. Uh-huh. I burn his production.
That's right.
And we repping for the New York
Knicks.
Live from the garden, the Knicks game starting. The blue and the orange, the best spot starting. Regardless if it's close or a large margin. We hungry for a win, the fan base starving. Bound and astounded, dishing and we swishing. We run the whole city, ain't no competition. From Patrick to Willis, Frazier to Strickland. The next generation, we carry on tradition. Year after year, season after season. Arena full of fans, screaming out defense. Playoff intensity, got our hearts beating. The sneakers keep squeaking, hear the heart breathing. Swishing through the net, the players take flight. Vibing with the vets, the coaches need a fight. Hit them with attack, the players about to fight. It's all about respect, ain't taking any slight. A piece of the apple, about to take a bite. About to take a ride, out to new heights. This is our year, the future real bright. Shining real bright like the New York City lights. We rapping for the New York Knicks. Let's go, we the New York Knicks. We rapping for the New York Knicks. Let's go, we the New York Knicks.
It's the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum on the Bleed Blue Show.
Good evening and welcome to the regular season finale of the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, presented to you by the Bleed Blue Show. I'm your boy, the infamous one himself, Knickerbocker Ave, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Threads, and now part of Autograph, but it's a different story.
What
and
is
I'm
this?
Joined, as always. Okay, well, we'll get into that in a second,
wait.
But folks.
Explain to me after that, after the intro. I'm sorry. That was rude of me. I'm sorry. I should have.
But you know what, Steve? But that's the kind of thing that I love about this platform is that we can actually take the time to discuss little things here and there that's going on in our community and in our circles that, you know, allow us the opportunity to voice what's going on, voice an opinion, and kind of, you know, help the listeners decide whether or not it's for them or not. Well, so Steve Azul on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, my own version of where in the world is Carmen Sandiego, because this dude is all over the place. How you doing, brother?
What's up? What is Autograph? Is it Autographs? I think you had mentioned it the other night. What is that? Since you said it, like, might as well educate me.
So from what I gather, I don't know a little bit too much, but Autograph seems to be like this all-in-one platform for the fans. And essentially what it is that it acts almost like an all-in-one central hub of information, articles, statistics, scores, and whatnot. Also factoring the social media component, also factoring the referral component, and also, you know, the following component, and you actually get rewards for the amount of content you digest and the amount of people you refer. Now, what do the points get you? Right. What do the points get you? It actually does. It actually gets you a huge discounted rate for tickets to this Saturday's game one of the Eastern Conference quarterfinals between the New York Knicks and the winner of tonight's game that's in progress as we speak between the Philadelphia 76ers and the Miami Heat. And, dude, we have some things we have to talk about in regards to that, because before we start talking about the playoffs, we have to talk about the week that was the finale of the regular season, because since we last spoke, we had just finished beating the Bulls. But I know we got people on the line, so let's bring them on at a time.
No, it's just us, man. Let me and you flow, man. I don't know where others are, but that's all right. Me and you got this tonight. We got enough ammo to carry the rest. But before we get into the finale of the regular season, as far as Autographs, listen, I got to be honest. I'll help share it if it's through Knickerbocker Avenue, of course. But Steve Azul, man, I don't have enough time or bandwidth. Like, I'm showing my social media age. I am Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and that's it. Like, I don't have time to get through. There's so many apps, and that's cool. That's cool for the marketplace, and that's, you know, that's open market competition. But man, it's just too many apps. I like, you know, what you're saying as far as rewards, like, dude, I'm too much on the go. And you already know our bread and butter on this platform is about watching games and reacting to it. I don't have time to be typing with fans like that back and forth, man. I mean, I'll help share it, but whoo, nah, man. I'm Facebook, Twitter at like 80%, then Instagram is the rest, and I'm done, man. I'm showing my social media age, man. I know the young people, well, all right, 50 million apps. I'm cool, man. I'm cool.
Right. And for those, you know, who share a lot of content on YouTube, on TikTok, and all the other applications, this would be a very good tool for you to utilize to help. If you're a digital content creator, it actually might actually help you gain more followers, gain more traction. It's something that I'm going to give it a try for a little while. I'm thinking about maybe just giving this a try till up to the NBA draft. And then I'm going to make an assessment right there and say, you know what, whether I'm going to keep it, whether I'm going to, you know, get rid of it and see what happens. I'm also then, you know, because we were discussing the same thing. We were discussing this a little bit off air. This very might be the final season of Knickerbocker Avenue. I myself am actually going to be considering stepping away from the digital content realm and all social media. I'll still keep my personal stuff. So if you guys, you know, if you still want to be friends with me, I'm Angel Batances, Angel Jason Batances. That's how you can easily find me. And on Facebook, and then that's about it. I won't keep a Twitter very much. I won't keep an Instagram very much. I'll probably open one later on down the line. But it's about that time for me to focus on my personal health, my mental health, my family, my children. My children are growing, and I have two small girls, ages 4 and 3, Bianca and Rebecca. They demand. If you're a listener and you know you're a parent and you know that when they're that small and they demand your attention like it's nobody's fucking business, and who am I to deny them that? I'm their father.
Understood. Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. Health first, family first. Yeah, yeah. That makes total sense. So I guess the regular season final. What's your questions, man? Let's talk about it, man. That was a great effort by the Knicks against the Bulls, man. That was a great effort.
Well, I absolutely, because the last time we were on this platform, they had just beaten the Bulls in Chicago 128-117. Then we were all getting amped up for the final meeting with the Boston Celtics, which we were hoping for a victory, and we got it. We got that. 118-109, Knicks over the Celtics, behind a very good performance by our shoo-in for the MVP, Jalen Brunson, who scored 39 in that game. I'm just saying, dude, I don't know what the criteria is for the MVP discussion or, you know, what to qualify it to be the MVP. I know that it's a lot of politics. I know that it goes to a guy, you know, to guys with a lot of name values in a lot of instances, for the exception of maybe Jokic and a couple other people. But 39 points, leading this team. Also, you know, 17 from Dante DiVincenzo, 14 by Bojan Bogdanović, probably one of his better games as a Knick, coming off the bench. And, you know, OG Anunoby being the lockdown defender that he was in 26 minutes, pretty much holding Tatum and Brown in check from the majority of the game. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'll say this. That was a very good win by the Knicks last week in Boston. But I will be honest with you. I'm not trying to poo-poo on the performance. Love the performance. I would think, in my mind, there's two things. One, Boston really, we talked about it on the episode last week. They didn't necessarily have anything to play for, per se. The Knicks needed it more than Boston. Boston ran away with the division. I think they kind of pulled back a little bit. But nonetheless, the Knicks still needed to do what they needed to do. But number two, and this is something we're going to have all spring, and that is, can the Knicks do it four times against Boston? That, see, one time is cool, the way they did it last week. Can you beat that team four times. That's a level of difficulty, because you even said it last week, how the playoffs is about adjustments, and that's right. A very good team that makes adjustments on the fly. So, yeah, the Knicks won, and glad that they did, and I think Boston did pull back a little bit something, because the Knicks were – they ran away. They were up big, and the Boston bench tried to come back, but we knew the game was over. So that was garbage points at the end, but it's really about – can the Knicks do it four times? First of all, they got to get through the gauntlet, which is whoever is Miami, Philadelphia, and then whoever's the second round after that. Then we worry about Boston if that happens to be the case. And we'll have that conversation if that comes into fruition.
Right. But you see, this is where because I've listened to the chatter. I've listened to people on the social media and on other platforms and other podcasts and stuff like that. You know, the saving grace that most of them will say is that this is the first time that the Knicks beat the Celtics, because they finally had OG Anunoby in the lineup. The last time the Celtics came to the Garden, OG was just off, just into the preliminary stages of his surgery for that elbow situation he had. Excuse me. And Julius Randle was just, if I remember correctly, I think it just probably injured his shoulder. So the Knicks were very shorthanded. But it's always like you, me, Dom, and Mr. Live will always say, you play the team that's in front of you no matter who's in the lineup or not.
Listen.
Given Boston they had no horse in the battle. I understand that. But there has to be said that the impact that OG Anunoby does when he's in the lineup.
I'm a little different, man. It's not all the right. Boston game for me, Av. It's actually the Chicago game, the last game of the year, the game at home. Because we all said it last week. Boston didn't necessarily had to play that game. They ran with their bench, and the bench tried to make a miraculous comeback because they played hard, but they fell short because the Knicks were up big. The Knicks needed their game versus the Boston Celtics, and the Celtics needed it. The Celtics already done wrapped up the whole conference and the NBA best record. So the eye test to me, they didn't need the game. They just – it got out of – they lost a couple of runs, and the Knicks ran way with it, and the Knicks did what they needed to do. So props to the Knicks for holding it down. But to me, it was really about the Chicago game, because – the Bulls have something to play for as far as playing seeding situation. They're more of a desperate team than Boston. And that game was back and forth. And the Knicks could have said, I'm not a fan of this, and I think a lot of people would agree. Or it depends on who you are, because I think some fans will say, well, if we lose this game, we could go to 3 and play the Indiana Pacers, where the Knicks said, fuck that. We're going to go for the win. And if Milwaukee loses, and which they did to Orlando, the Knicks locked up the number 2 seed. That showed more guts to me in that one game because of the circumstances with the Bulls, the Bucks, than the what happened in Boston.
I agree with you on that aspect. I'm totally with you. However, here's a fun fact. Chicago was going to lock up their number 9 seed regardless. They were number 9 regardless whether they won or lost. They were locked in, so they really, if you really think about it, had nothing to play for. Yet they played their asses off because it was the principle of the fact that they wanted to beat the Knicks. The Knicks needed it. The Knicks needed it for seeding, but the Bulls did not. But the Bulls still went out there and played their asses off, and they forced that game into overtime. So I give them a lot more credit than than most people will give them, because when you're going into the last game of the season, usually that game pretty much is garbage minutes anyway, because the season is usually spoken for. They were going to be the number eight, number nine seed regardless of where they of the outcome.
But
yet they still went out there and played their asses off, and that's why I respect them a little bit more. And yes, I find that a little bit more impressive, because you had a more willing opponent.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. Like, the Bulls have something to play for with the effort, no matter it didn't impact the season. It was really more about the Knicks. Do you want to go after it and get the number 2 seed, or just lay down and get the 3 seed? And that's important if you're into that home court aficionado stuff, because if you happen to run to a struggling Milwaukee Bucks team, you will have home court advantage. That it was a win-win for the Knicks because they could have laid down and they chose not to. And that and you know what? I gotta be honest. I gotta not be a hypocrite, Adam. I'm gonna give a somewhat of an apology to Tom Thibodeau. As much as I blame him, and I still do after your IG live with Fasim and Mr. Live last week, right? I said it was Tom Thibodeau who's at fault for why Randall is hurt for the year because he's leaving Randall in. But that's the same. Well, it is good for the goose, good for the gander because he left this team in there. Told to go there so they could go after the 2C. So I have to, in the same breath, give Tom Thibodeau props, although it cost us Julius Randle. And I think that part of the piece is why we probably went from a chance to win the chip, I would have said a 50% chance, the way they were playing when everybody was aboard, when OG Anunoby came over from the trade. Randle was there. When everybody was there, the Knicks were rolling. It went from a 50% chance to win the championship. Now Randall not in there. I'm going to say it's probably gone down to like maybe 25% to 30%. 25, closer to 25 maybe. Because that's a big piece, Av. Julius Randle, that's a lot of production that you have to make up by committee with Bogdanović, Mitchell Robinson, Alec Burks, whoever's going to be in the rotation. So, yeah, but that game, the way they went after and DeRozan missing the shot, that could have buried the Knicks, and the Knicks caught a break there, man. But, yeah, good for the Knicks, man, 50 wins, man. They did surpass the Las Vegas total, 45 to begin the season? But nobody knew we were going to have the pieces that they had on the team, though, so. Huh?
Right, but now you just mentioned something about you were mentioning Julius Randle.
Yes, of course. If you
listen to the chatter in some circles,
I don't.
But I'm sure you know where I'm going with this. There are a number of fans there right now who believe the Knicks are better without Julius Randle.
Absolutely not. Absolutely.
Okay.
Not. Come on, man. Do you remember the 9-game win streak we had, or was it 10? That's when Randall got hurt. The Knicks were. I mean, they smoked Denver, dude. This is the defending champ. I mean, they were smoking teams. You know what I'm saying? After that Anunoby trade, all of them, dude. All those teams in that stretch. Remember, we came on after the Denver because Denver had played like later in the week, and we came back on the Wednesday. They looked like. They had it all going, dude. And the reason why I say this, those fans are crazy. You know why? Because even as well as the Knicks have been playing, the level of the greed to deliver on possessions, it goes down when a guy like Julius Randle, who can get you, like Dom says, 25 and 10. That's a lot of pressure, not on Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson, as great as he has been, and look, and I'll say something about that too, because we kind of brought that up last night on the hockey show, you know, surprisingly, right? As great as Jalen Brunson is, like, he takes a beating, dude. Like, the level of degree of difficulties of shots that he takes, that's a lot of stress possession by possession. When you add a guy like Julius Randle, who could also get points in the half court, and especially in the playoff situation, you kind of need that, dude. You kind of need that. You know what I'm saying? The throw is somebody like a Randle who can go get you his own shot. Remember, you brought that up the other week, like what other Knicks could get their own shot. Randle was the one of the dudes who could.
That's absolutely true. And see, this is – I'm one of those people like you who are saying, where are you going to get 25, 10, and 5 on a nightly basis in the playoffs – When you're playing an opponent, you know, 4 out of 7 games, 2 at home, 2 you know, 2 on the road, and then you're traveling, you know, every other day, and then on top of that, you have Dante DiVincenzo probably not shooting the rock as well, and you got Bogdanović not shooting the rock as well, or maybe Josh Hart is being sketchy, or you know, Deuce McBride is just not just not hitting it. Where else are you going to get your production? And I understand.
Go ahead.
I understand what people are going to say is that Julius Randle, you know, historically speaking, has not been one of the best playoff performers. However, I don't think that this year would have been one of those cases, because now you would have no ankle injury. You would have you would have none of that. You would just have had, you know, him recovering from that, from that shoulder dislocation, and then you would have, you know, you still would have gotten the beast that is Julius Randle, because Julius Randle, among anything and everything about him, you can say what you want about him. The dude, the person himself, is always in shape. The dude's a freaking beast among men, and keeps himself in pretty much in basketball shape at all times. Even on his worst days, is still better than what, a good 60% of the league. Just saying.
Yeah, superstars don't grow on trees. So when fans maybe not appreciate his style of play, you didn't never hear that from this platform. So like I said, I'm glad that fans are out there. If they have the shows or they have you know social media. I'm cool with having a voice. Like, everybody should have a voice, whether we agree or disagree. But you cannot tell me the way they were playing during that 9-game win streak, 10-game win streak, including in that smoking of Denver, because they're not doing that to Denver without Julius Randle in the lineup. Same team. Put the same team that was out there against the Bulls. They're not doing that against Denver. Absolutely not without Randle. You know what I'm saying? Or even Miami.
Go ahead.
Miami is a good example, because that's the game he got hurt. That's the one I was on your Instagram live with Asim and Mr. Live and you, and I said they were up big in that game. They were killing Miami. But then you go down to Miami without Randle, it's a close game now. I'll say it one more and I'll pass it back to you. Just look at the point differential, how they were smoking teams. I mean, I'm talking about the upper echelon championship contending type teams when all those guys were in the lineup, including Randle. And we're talking about Denver. And that's a big deal, because Denver is arguably the best team in the league still, despite, you know, their situation and record. They're the defending champs for a reason. They got the MVP on their squad. And they killed Denver. Killed Denver. And if I remember correctly, right. I could be wrong, I think that game, Denver was already in the city, because I think they may have played Brooklyn, or they were already in New York when the Knicks were coming from somewhere else, like on the road. So that's no excuse for Denver. They smoked Denver. And that's a big deal. That's a big win. They're not doing that to Denver without Randle. There's no way. I don't care who says it. I think this is a common sense for all sports fans. I'd rather smoke teams than win, like, kind of like how – listen, if we have to beat a team close or in overtime like the Bulls, cool. But come on, man, give me a 20, 25-point win any day, 30-point win any day of the week. Are you kidding me?
Absolutely. Especially when your top three guns are shooting 60% off the floor, they're rebounding the ball. They're filling up the stat sheet in other ways other than just points. But their points is such a dramatic increase.
It comes so fluidly.
And that very game, that Denver game, actually both Denver games, because we played them at the Garden, and then we played them in Denver, and we beat them both times. In both those games, the team felt fluid. The team had a game plan. They executed the game plan to perfection without any hiccups. They knew who they were playing against, and they knew that they could not let off the gas at any point, and they were able to smoke them in those two occasions. Now, am I saying that they can, if by happenstance, if the Knicks go to the finals and meet the Nuggets, that they're going to be able to smoke them every single time? No. But I'm just saying...
No.
The series will be a lot more interesting, and there will be one, if not maybe two, lopsided victories on either side. I'm just saying, it's there, it's possible, it can happen.
Well, let's throw another team to the mix, because we mentioned Denver, we mentioned Miami. Philadelphia is another one. Remember, we went to Philadelphia, smoked them. Embiid in the lineup, Maxey in the lineup, the whole cast was in the lineup. Buddy Hill has just got to the team from Indiana. Knicks went there with after the Anunoby trade. That was very early on after the acquisition. Smoked them in their building in Philadelphia.
35. My
Philadelphia, whoever we get, Philadelphia or Miami, it ain't going to be like what we did to Miami and Philadelphia when we first got Anunoby. It's just not, because the level of the playoff, you already know this, playoff intensity increases. The level of difficulty of getting buckets is going to be high stressful. And on top of that, like you said, the adjustments. You're going to see the same opponent over the next 4 to 5 games, maybe a 6-7 game series. These players or teams are going to be familiar with each other. We all seen playoff basketball 30, 40, 50 plus years. We know how this goes. Without a guy like Julius Randle, it's going to be tougher for the Knicks. I'm not saying they're going to lose. It's just going to be tougher. Had he been in the lineup the way we were playing, I had no doubt we would have beat Philadelphia in 5 or Miami in 5 or 6. But it's just going to be tougher. I think we can still do it. It's just going to be tougher because not having that particular guy, the way it's just going to be tough. No way around it, man.
It's just like, I mean, I'm sure that you, I, and anybody on this platform has ever played a pickup game. And if you've ever played a game against an opponent and then you say, let's run it back again, and you play the same opponents and you make adjustments to that same opponent because you start to understand and learn their tendencies because, you know, you're seeing them, you know, night in and night out for 2.5 to 3 hours a game. You're also watching tape. You're also doing a lot of preparations and practice.
Right.
You're also, you know, doing a lot of traveling, and you're having discussions with your teammates because, hey, this is what I noticed that, you know, so-and-so likes to veer to his left a little bit. Or whenever he turns his hand this way, he's gonna go to the right. You know, players pick up on that kind of stuff. So I would dare to say that you say that the chances have dropped. I don't think that they dropped that much. I'm just saying that
chances of dropping what? Someone, which series you're talking about?
I'm talking about either one. If the Knicks' chances to win the title, you know, was at 50% at one point, and you're saying they dropped to 35 to 20, or, you know, anywhere between that range.
Absolutely.
I'm saying it's more like 30. I'm still going by 40. I think it dropped 10 points because at the same time, look at what Dante DiVincenzo has been able to do now that he's taking a much more active role in the score. Look at what Deuce McBride has been doing. Look at what Josh Hart has been doing in Randall's place because now he's more or less playing the four.
Let me say something to that. I would disagree because, okay, Dante DiVincenzo, when Randall was there, very good. He's having a career year, Dante DiVincenzo. But his shot selection was more fluid. The word fluid is going to be said for the rest of this episode. It came natural. It came easier because he's not the secondary option without Randall in the lineup. He's more of the third when Randall and Brunson are in that lineup.
Right.
Josh Hart is a little different because he's one of those guys. He's a Swiss Army knife. It depends on the type of game that's going to be played. He'll get you 14, 15 rebounds. He'll get you 8 rebounds. It depends on how it is. He'll get you 4-6 points, or he may get you 8-9 points or 10 points with a triple-double. I mean, it depends on the type of game. So Josh Hart, to me, I don't have a worry about because he's going to fill in areas where it's going to be needed, when the team needs it. Deuce McBride, as much as I do like him, he has had spots where he played well. He's not the consistency of a Julius Randle. He's just not.
He's not yet.
So we're talking 7-game series. Arguably, let's say, okay, theoretically, I don't want to jinx this. I'm trying not to jinx this. Whoever we get, Philadelphia or Miami, that series is going to be harder than what Milwaukee's in a funk. So let's say Milwaukee, it could be even Indiana. Listen, I think Indiana could beat Milwaukee the way that Milwaukee has been playing. Giannis is hurt. That is not no easy feat because Indiana could score a lot of points. We played them even with Randall in the lineup. I think that's when Ananobi wasn't there. Maybe had been there one game. Indiana could light it up, man. And I know in playoff basketball, shit slows down. I'm still tempted to see how that's going to be because, I know I'm being a little long-winded, but, you know, the degree of basketball without Randall, life is going to be harder, man. You're saying 40%. I say a little bit less because I think Randall, when it slowed the game down, that pace when Randall isn't there, we can't be touched. We how much evidence do we need? Like, when he was there, the pace we were playing because remember there were games we were trying to outscore teams and it just doesn't work. There are some games we did score 130, 140, but you could just tell that the Knicks, it just didn't look like the Knicks. When the Knicks are top, I think it may have been your tweet or something, or something you shared, they were both top in offense and defense. A lot of that was with Randle, man. I'm telling you, especially adding Hartenstein to the starting lineup when Mitch was out with all those games, it was a perfect. I wouldn't call it perfect chemistry, but it was as balanced of a roster you had in the NBA. I think without Randle, it gets a little tougher. It does, man. It really does.
It absolutely does.
I'm going to go a little lower.
Okay, well, how about just 30, between 30 and 35? We'll call it right there in the middle.
I think I would be a little higher had we got Orlando with the draw. Or if we ran into Chicago or somebody like that. But the fact that we're going against two teams we're very familiar with, Philadelphia or Miami, and that monster number 21 for Philadelphia or Miami is one of those tricky teams. And you know Dom hates that Heat culture shit, right? They don't care about the regular season. They always fucking turn it up in the playoffs. That's why they go to the NBA Finals. They don't care. Like, they'll play the play-in game. That shit is nice to them.
They're doing it as we speak. They're up 51-39 right now at halftime over the Philadelphia.
Really?
In Philly.
Okay. Because I don't have the game in front of me because I'm talking with you here on the Knickerbocker Avenue Free Forum. That's what I'm saying. Like, they don't care who they – they just want to get in one of those 10 slots. They'll roll the dice. They've done it year after year. And they're tricky. They're not really a playing team per se because they don't go all out in the regular season. Their formula is just get in there. They will turn up the heat. That's why they'll play against Boston or Milwaukee or us and have no problem and drag it out to a seven-game series, man. They're a tough out. They're a tough out.
You know, I've been asked all week, you know, who would I rather face? And my number one answer is I don't care who we face. But if I really have to think about it, I would rather face Philly.
I would
rather face Philly because Philly, once you get past the Maxi and B situation, you have much more favorable matchups in that aspect. Tobias Harris hasn't been the same player that he was.
He's overrated.
Over the last
he's
3 years.
He's been overrated
for a while, but over the last 3 years, he's been in a decline, in my opinion. And,
of course.
You know, their,
your eyes overdeceive you.
And their bench as deep as it can be, does not measure up to the Knicks. I'm sorry, they just don't.
Yeah, dude.
Now
we're in agreement, man.
Now here's the tricky part situation of that. Because the reason why I would rather face the Philadelphia 76ers, is because I would rather Miami face Boston. So if they drop tonight and then they win the next game against the winner of the 9-10, which is Chicago and Atlanta, they go play Boston. And they can renew that rivalry real quick and see how that goes. And there could be another 8-1 situation where an upset has happened. And because I honestly feel that even with Miami being as depleted as it has been, because they lost a lot of players over the offseason. They lost Strus, they lost Vince Gibson, they lost a lot of guys. But they're still the fucking Miami Heat. And
right, exactly.
Just like exactly. That fucking Heat culture, that shit is fucking real. I'm sorry.
It, it,
I know
Don
hates
it.
It's real.
It is.
It's fucking
it is.
Real.
That's right. It is real. It is definitely real. I was watching a little bit of the game before I came on with you, and I saw Alonzo Mourning in the stands with Pat Riley in Philadelphia. With Alonzo Mourning had that Apollo Creed 1975 suit. It was sharp, though. He had that shit on.
All right.
It's him, Riley, and Spoelstra. They know exactly what type of player to go get when guys leave. It's almost like Bill Belichick, the Patriots. Yeah, you got your cornerstone guys like Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, or whatever, right? But you're going to get the guys that's going to fit your culture, your system around it. That's why they went and got Rozier from the Charlotte Hornets. That's why they drafted Vasquez from UCLA. These guys are cheaper cost versions of Max Strus, the other guard, the point guard from last year. The guy who could shoot. Vincent. He went to LA. Vincent. Yeah, exactly. This is no different. Like they like Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero. These guys fit what they do. They get rugged dudes. Remember, we were talking about it for a while. Udonis has them for years on that bench, and they retired his jersey. I remember we were cracking jokes at that, but they take that cleat culture shit seriously. They believe in it, but you can't deny the results. They got two championships. Three. They had three championships with, what they believe in.
Riley.
And they really believe it. And it's the same reason, and I hate to say it, one of the worst things in Knicks history with the Dave Checkers, Pat Riley situation. Because had they not let him go or gone to Miami, who knows what the Knicks, maybe they could have been some of those, could have been Knicks championships. That's neither, I don't want to go down that road, but.
To clarify, that was the reason that also did happen was because the ownership was being, the ownership situation was changing. And that's when Dolan was starting to take over. So that was the first domino of the Jim Dolan era to fall and cost us, 20 over two decades of grief, hardship, and mediocrity.
Yeah.
But now I don't know about you, but for me, I feel like this is the closest that I've ever felt that the possibility of the Knicks ending a 51-year curse can be lifted.
Let's hope you're right.
I don't know if it's because I'm a homer. I don't know if it's if I'm a homer. I don't know because I got that feeling of nostalgia because Brunson DiVincenzo and them they kind of remind me of that bomb squad Knicks from the mid '80s when we had Jackson and Strickland and we had Starks and all those guys we had a shitload of guards. Yeah. And
big difference though. One big difference. Between those guards in the 80s versus this crop. As we all know, the crop that's currently we have right now, these guys played together and won together multiple championships on a college level. They've proven winners together. Strickland and Jackson never played together in college. You know what I'm saying? That was more of a log jam because both of those guys played the same position.
It just happened to be my circumstances that they were drafted, a year or two apart.
Right.
But I honestly feel like besides that, and just the fact that when you hear what all these talking heads talk about, is Jalen Brunson an MVP candidate? Because they're always calling him the 1A or whatever whatever the hell it is. I honestly feel it's not only just disrespectful, but at the same time, I kind of like it because that way he can fall under the radar when he freaking smacks you in the mouth. Come playoff time, it takes the team further than any of us can fucking imagine.
You know where I stand with that. And let me say something because I kind of brought this up yesterday on the hockey show. And it's the same thing with the Rangers right now with Artemi Panarin. It's almost the same goddamn situation. Actually, it's even a little worse with the Rangers. Because the Rangers have the best record in the entire NHL, Artemi Panarin has a career year. You could actually compare his season with the Rangers with Jalen Brunson with the Knicks. It's almost damn near as far as production. These are MVP candidate type seasons for both the Garden teams. I don't get into the because we brought it up yesterday with the hockey show yesterday, Av, how. It's all the voting is subjective. They got to do away with it. I would like for them to do away with the voting. I just think it's outdated because everybody's going to have their guy no matter what. And you can never really grasp what people are voting on or for. That's why it's always so inconsistent with MVPs. That's why I stay away from it. I'm all about team championships. So what I mean is what I said to the guys last night with the hockey, the only way I would buy into this MVP talk year after year with the fans is they got to do away with the voting. And how you fix that is you got to take your time on every metric, whether it's the NBA or the NHL. You got to look at everything. Because we're living in a high statistical era, right, that have with analytics. Look at everything.
Yeah.
How well does this player perform in the clutch? Jalen Brunson definitely has that. You know, like clutch baskets under 2 minutes. Like, let's take that type of score and compare it to all the other scores around the NBA. Take that. His average. Think about how well did he play without his number two guy, which is Randall. Like, we'll have to add factors like that into the conversation. So I would love to do an MVP revamping of the system where you look at situations, how well did he do under 2 minutes or 3 minutes? Free throws, game win, go-ahead buckets, how well he plays with Randall, without Randall. Like, do like some sort of computation and then come with a hard number for every player in the league. And whoever has that best number with a weighted average of all circumstances, it'll take like all kind of scenarios, that would be your MVP. I think that's how you fix it. But until they fix it, I'm off that train because, yeah, Brunson should be an MVP candidate. He probably won't get it because, listen, like, there's going to be people who are going to be pro Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's had a great season. They have the best record in the West, right? So it's hard to go against it. And OKC beat the Knicks twice, including a game-winning shot against the Knicks just recently.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Like, going with my theory of what I just presented, he would probably have more points added to his case because of what he did to the Knicks just recently. So, because it's so subjective now, Ab, with the voting. Like, you could, like, in players, and there's going to be certain players that are just dicks, right? And what I mean by that is they're just assholes to the media, and then that could rub some voters the wrong way, and we know that for a fact. So I stay away from MVP. I stay away from it because it's bullshit.
It's actually kind of interesting because I did a little research, and not a lot, not extensive, but I did just a quick look up of how many times a player will be named a conference player of the week or conference player of the month, and they not win the most valuable player award. It's always given to the, you know, the superstar or the bigger name or, the one on the better team or this and that sort. And sometimes the statistics, the stats are not even the going factor. It's just to be the access that the voters have to that. Like you just said, back in the day, Jordan won five or six MVPs. Why? Because, he was accessible. People, people talked to him. People got to know him. People got to play golf with him. People got to, and he won a legitimate amount of MVPs. Given he was the best player on the court, but there were times where I
thought. But
there were at least one or two times where I kind of looked at it as like, I think that, that there was another player that should have been looked at. There could have been a year that Shaq would have won it, or back in '93 when Charles Barkley won it. I figured like, I think Hakeem Olajuwon should have won it that year instead of just winning it in '94. There are a lot of different politics that go along with that.
That's why I stay away from it.
Which is sad because it's the same thing with baseball Hall of Fame. It's the same thing with with the MVP in every league. It's, I honestly feel that writers should not be the ones
It's an outdated system. It's outdated.
It's a very outdated system.
In the 40s, in the 50s, and we're still holding on to that. We're in an era of statistics and analytics. You were just telling us at the start of the show about an app called Autograph, and it involves stats. We're in an era of stats, so why not use that to calculate what an MVP score would look like for all players, right? Because think about it. Like, if Boston won by 14 games, that should carry some weight. That's a dominance. The Knicks were number two seed in the walls. They're finished in the second behind in 12, 13 games, whatever it was. It was ridiculous. 14 games, I think.
14.
That's ridiculous. 14. So that should help, Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum, right? I mean, it could help. They had some games. They were smoking teams too. So, I'm off that train, Av. I really am. Because I was having the same conversation. Oh, Timmy Panera should be an MVP candidate. They had the best record in the entire NHL. And he almost had 50 goals. He was top five in points. Same thing with Brunson. It's almost they're identical in their respective sports as far as production and where their team success is. But here's the crazy thing. They're not the household names like LeBron, Giannis, and shit like that. So that's the bullshit. That's why I stay away from it, my guy. That's why I stay away from it.
Nah, Well, I usually don't care, but because you know for once a Knick is being considered for that, and it's the first time that a Knick's being considered for that award since 2013 when Melo won the scoring title. That's the only reason I pay attention to. Other than that, I'm with you. At the end of the season. If somebody else wins the Michael Jordan Trophy, which is what the MVP award is now called, the Michael Jordan Trophy, but we get the Larry O'Brien, I'm happy.
Well, so it goes back to what I was saying with Chris last week on we did the college basketball. As big as, the alumni and with UConn winning a sixth national championship, look at their roster. They have a complete roster. I don't care who, like me personally, I don't give a flying fuck who gets MVP. Give me the championship. Because if you look at Purdue, right? Zach Edey, whatever his name is, the big center. He was the most dominant player. He had the best stats, but what did it mean at the end of the day? They still got smoked. Give me the team. Give me the team that's going to play as a team, dominate as a team, get you the championship. Like, MVPs and all that stuff, like, I know fans who like that talk. Like, no, it's about chips where I'm coming from, my guy. I'm off the chips. I'm about championships, legacy. Like, that's why the 70 Knicks, like, and Chris said it last week, that's why the 70 Knicks, you have to give an MOP or MVP to somebody, right? That's why the Dominics and the Chris, the Professor Chris, has loved those 70 Knicks teams, because you're not going to find a more balanced roster that won a championship than them. I'm not even going to say the 2004 Pistons. That was a very great team. That was a great team, too. But they're not the 70s Knicks. They're not. But
no.
Give me teams over individual players or dominant. You know what I'm saying? Give me the team. If players, if they want MVP, it's cool. But we need championships. I'm tired of individual awards, man. I really am, man.
It really does kind of it does sometimes hurt the sport a little bit when we harp more on the individuals on teams in team sports, because then you lose focus of the team concept. And then when a team like just recently the Denver Nuggets, yes, they did have the MVP, but he wasn't anything flashy. He wasn't lighting up SportsCenter every night. He wasn't doing that. He was just playing the game. Another prime example, Tim Duncan, just playing the game the right way with his teammates and getting to the ultimate goal, which is what a lot of people always, when they debate the greatest of all time. How do most Jordan aficionados rank it? Jordan has 6 rings. End of discussion. Even though statistically speaking, you can look at LeBron and say, well, maybe. But it's the same idea. If the championship is the ultimate goal, it's the pinnacle of your sport. Maybe we shouldn't worry so much about the MVP. I mean, it's a nice little award.
I'm not worried.
Give him a cash prize. Give him a cash prize or the new Chevy pickup truck that they're marketing, and just call it a day.
All right, cool. Listen, live is with us. Live, man. We done did a whole full episode, man. But you can jump on. We'll stay for a little bit of OT to talk, man. Mr. Live, what's up, bro, man? And Avin, I was just chopping it up about. I'm not really caring about MVP like that because I think the system is bullshit, but yet the Knicks got a number 2 seed. I know you should be happy about that. I was more impressed with the Chicago game than the Boston game. What were your thoughts, Mr. Live? I know we were on Knickerbocker as IG Live last week, but what are your thoughts?
About the Boston and I actually watched the game again. And again, man, I thought Boston's coach tried to bail on his reasoning for playing that way. You know what I'm saying? Or playing, all 5 starters and playing 3 quarters very hard and all this, that, and the third. Because they threw everything at Brunson. You know what I'm saying? And they threw everything at the team for 3 quarters. Very hard, very intentional. Until they saw that nobody was playing. Right, they tried to send a message, and that message backfired on them. They found themselves vulnerable. So Boston laid an egg for themselves in that situation where and we got brownie points for doing how we did for the next 2-3 games because we went in hard. So the two Bulls games really kind of for me it showed where we gonna have the most problems at, you know, in the playoffs. Whereas we need other shot creators, man. We actually Uh-oh. Need another one on the bench. You understand what I'm saying?
I got a question for you.
Sure.
Ultimate question we've been asking each other tonight, Av and I. Dom, we see we'll bring you on after live. The question, the percentage the Knicks have to win the championship, I say is 30%. I think it was at one point 50% when everybody was there with Randle and Anobi. At the point when we were smoking teams like Denver, remember we came on glowing the Wednesday after that
right.
game. Like whenever Denver played the next episode we were on, I said, damn, this is great, man. This is the best that I ever seen the Knicks play in decades.
Yes.
But when yes. you lose a guy like Randle, like the level of difficulty comes harder, mate. So I say 30%. Av believes it's 40%, right, Av? So I think Av said 40%, right, Av? Or no, or was it 50?
I lowered mine from 50 to 40.
He says 40. I say it's a little lower than that. What do you think, Live, as far as the Knicks currently right now without Randle going through a gauntlet in the East, possibly a championship? What's the chances of winning the championship? What do you think?
Okay, so championship, I give it 30, right? I give it 30, man, because, again, you're talking about – and, you know, like you know what? 35. And the reason why I say that is because if you make it all the way to the chip, then everything is out the window, right? Everybody got a shot, right? It's a 50-50 shot right there. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, the reason why I give it 35 is because, again, I believe Denver is going to run through them cats in the West. And, you know, if we see them, we are going to miss our front court battering ram, which is Randle. Okay, we're going to miss that size. And again, man, across the board, man, they hold front court is 6'10 and better. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah, so if you know, you're not going to play Precious crazy minutes with them dudes because it's the agility factor, all right? You know what I'm saying? It's just going to be insane. Right, and if Michael Porter Jr., if he even act like he like, oh, this is my shot, right? Because you see how he's been playing all fucking year, and it's like he's gonna want to show his arse. So, 35, man. I mean, if we get there, it's gonna be a coming out party for Brunson, man. He's gonna be back on the West. He's gonna go ha ha. He's gonna have a Cuban ha ha jersey on. You understand? The league is gonna love them. The league gonna love us. You know, it's gonna be a party, man. But I don't, 35. If I'm realistically on a basketball tip, 35%, 35.
Okay, okay.
Fan,
all right. Quick follow up question to you, Live, because we were also arguing this because a lot of Knicks circles are talking this garbage. Are the Knicks better without Julius Randle now?
Oh no.
Thank you.
Oh no! Like they would be a more complete. They would be totally like indefensible if they had Grant. Right? Right now you got four. You got. I mean, Grant Brunson makes up 40% of their total offense. Him alone. Right?
That's a lot,
you know what I'm saying?
Man.
I know Don't probably got better numbers than I do on it. But again, man, he's been so brilliant. We forget the fact that you know that number might be higher if you add. And this is only points. If we add assists and everything else, man, how important he is. Like we know if he's not there, like it's a wrap. But you know, to my point, we need him so bad. We don't have another way to go. So if we have Randle, we would have somebody in the front court doing their thing. If we had, I just seen
exactly.
Randall. I just play with, you know what I'm saying? When Randall brought it up the court and Brunson was playing off the ball, he got Brunson the ball behind I forgot who screened him. But Brunson plays off the ball so well, and Julius Randle is a very underrated player when it comes to his assists, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, dog, we need that guy.
Okay.
We need
right,
that
exactly.
guy.
Right, exactly.
It's an illusion. It's an illusion, and I don't know where they get it from.
All right.
So let's bring on Domstradamus himself, Donardo DP on Twitter. Dominic, how you doing, brother? What's going on? You're a little late,
man.
But hey, what's down overtime for you? What's going on, brother?
A man who knows great teams, the 70 Knicks, aficionado. Dom knows. That's the reason why we talk about great teams, because that's why I picked UConn to win at 99.9% national championship. We know great teams.
I can't keep up with the time with you guys, man. I thought it was 9. Something told me to call. Plus, I've been kind of hurt with my back. But to some of y'all's point that I caught, I give the Knicks a 65% chance of getting to the finals. And then it's 50-50 from there. And then it's 50-50 from there. I'll tell you what, guys.
You're higher than me.
I know we're pressed for time, but what's really bothering me is I wish somebody on Philly would show up tonight. I don't have no preference, but I'm just follow me. I wish somebody on Philly would show up tonight, because when the Knicks would play Philly, just like tonight and just like the last 2 out of 3 playoffs he's been in, he's a choke artist. Joel Embiid is not meant for the moment. I've been telling y'all this shit for 3 years. He is not that guy. He's not built for the spotlight, and the Knicks would crush the Sixers. They might sweep the Sixers if they played them. This guy has not showed up, and he ain't showing up tonight. I would have loved for the Knicks to play them. But,
I thought we had a little bit of a Candyman moment, because Av mentioned heat culture 3 times. Like Candyman, then you popped up in the queue.
To speak of that heat culture tonight is a bad thing, because they're playing I just don't trust Philly. And I'm tired of the Eric Spoelstra is fucking Marlon the Magician and this heat culture shit. That's why if the chips fall where they're probably going to fall, the Knicks are going to play Miami. You know what? You had your time. You had your time with your heat culture and all this bullshit. It's our time now. It's our time to step up, stand up, and stomp these clowns in the throat and put that shit to bed once and for all. They are no better than us. Spoelstra just happens to be in a good situation. It seemed like the Heat have hit some insane fucking highs at times. I'm not taking nothing away from them. But the way we played this year, we have, if I'm not mistaken, Ab, we have the season series against Miami and Philly. But if you listen to some people, we're like, you know, we kind of sneak into the second seed with all those injuries, with all of these missing games. I mean, what is that, some kind of fathom luck? And you got Miami with Marlon the Magician and Philly with Joel Embiid, the next big man on Mount Rushmore. And y'all are in the play-in game, man. Help me out. Help me understand this shit. Y'all are in the play-in game. And we're the number 2 seed. The reason I say 60% chance, of getting there, if there's one hiccup, guys, and Boston gets outed, this is why getting the 2 seed was so important. If for some strange reason, and it could happen, it happened last year, if the Celtics hit a hiccup and they get knocked out, guess who got home court throughout?
Exactly.
Throughout the Eastern Conference. We do. So don't let nobody fool you that this 2 seed was luck. No, guys, we're where we're supposed to be when we're supposed to be there. That's all. This ain't no accident.
Alonzo Mourning went to Philadelphia with the Apollo Creed suit, man. They're trying to go for the custom, man. You see, you know Alonzo Mourning, man? They were not playing. We're going to Philadelphia with a Creed suit, the original dude.
I can't even watch that garbage, man. Get that shit out of my hair.
Just so the listeners are understanding, if you're not watching, the Heat are up 65-63 with 1:58 left in the third quarter. Joel Embiid, as Dom alluded to, is shooting 3-for-11, has 12 points, 11 rebounds, and 4 assists, but he's also in somewhat of foul trouble. Meanwhile, Jimmy Butler, 16 points on 4-for-15 shooting. He's shooting 2 assists from downtown, has 4 assists. Tyler Hero's not shooting the ball very well, 1-for-8, only 9 points. Same thing with Tyrese Maxey. He's shooting 1-for-6 from downtown, 5-for-13 from the floor, only 13 points. Nobody in Philly is really showing up yet, and it'll be interesting to see if Philly then shows up for the winner of Chicago Atlanta, and then they have to go, and their consolation prize would be to go up to Boston and try to tangle with the Celtics, which they'll probably get swept. I'm sorry, they'll probably get swept out of the building.
Back to the original point, man. Real guys, Ben, that is just crazy talk. Like with Randall. We know what the Knicks were doing to teams during the win streak when everybody was there after the Ananobi.
Oh.
That is a team you could hoist a Larry O'Brien trophy. Unfortunately, things happened the way they happened, but man, the Knicks were rolling, man. I mean, that in decades, they were never done that in a long time, smoking the way you were smoking
Steve,
teams this winter.
Steve, if we're a +4 right now with points for and points against, we're a +4 differential. You think we're a +4 differential with Randall on the court? Hell, we might be a +10, and that's
we're actually like a +16
top of the league type shit. A +4, guys. We're a +4 without Randall, who was, if I'm not mistaken, guys, he was averaging 25 points when he got hurt. 25, 24 points, whatever it was. You can't excuse that shit. 24. He was averaging 24 points a night, guys. Come on.
In that month of January, the Knicks were actually a +16.
Yeah.
That's how good they were with Ananobi, with Mitchell Robinson, and with Julius Randle. And then when, you know, the wheels fell off on all three of those guys, that's when, you know, the Knicks started to struggle. But yet, they made the number 2 seed, and it wasn't by accident. It wasn't that we sneaked in, and it wasn't just because Milwaukee just shit the bed. Milwaukee was almost penciled in as an Eastern Conference favorite when they acquired Damian Lillard. And now, look where they are. They had to fire their coach midway through. They got Doc Rivers, who only knows how to freaking choke on being up 3-1 in every series he's in, won one title as a coach, one NBA head coach of the year award. And I'm sorry, I know he's a former Knick, and we're supposed to love him for that part. But as in terms of, you know, what he brings to, you know, to a team, he's just going to bring that team into, you know, more disarray, more problems. And I don't know if Giannis – can somebody correct me if I'm wrong? Did Giannis ever sign his contract extension, or did he not?
I think he did, yeah. But y'all know how I feel about Doc Rivers, Steve. You know what I say about Doc Rivers. Listen, I ain't losing that feeling. Not one.
Yeah, you've been on it.
You've
been on it.
I was happy when they hired him because it just gave me one leg up. I will say this, guys, before I go. Steve, I actually made it to the Bronx for that Knick gathering they had at this ale place in the Bronx. Oh, my God, guys. It was probably the closest thing to being in Madison Square Garden. And the game went into overtime. And it was a great game. And I walked out of there and drove back to Jersey with the Knicks being the 2 seed. I couldn't ask for nothing better, guys. It was great. It was fucking outrageous. Trust me. I felt like I was. The weird thing is, like, you don't know these people. They only know you via Twitter, and you know, guys, I don't post a lot of pictures of myself. So it was kind of weird, like, you know. But as soon as I started talking, everybody knew who I was. They was like,
yeah.
I was like, oh boy, here we go. But I tell you what, guys, I had a ball. It was, you know, I don't drink, so I ate, I watched the game. And the game was great, guys. If y'all watch that game on Sunday, and we're scoreboard watching, and all of a sudden Milwaukee lost, and this shit's going into overtime, and we pulled it out, and look at where we came from, fellas. Come on, man. You know, if anybody deserves kudos this year, it's us. Let's not say it because we're Knicks fans. So let's just say it, because what they did, guys, I would challenge anybody on this line and anybody in America to tell me any team that went through as many injuries, as many minutes lost, all your key players, and you ended up a two seed. Hey, tell me who that team
is. Pretty good. That's pretty good.
That's pretty awesome.
Real quick, let me say something real quick before we get to the other teams real quick. The rest of the playoffs, looking forward to it. Like, let's say the Cleveland, Orlando, Indiana. I think Indiana, they went through Milwaukee to get to the Sippy Cup, right? So to get to Las Vegas. So they have shown they could play when Milwaukee was seen more holding than it is now. So I believe Indiana will beat them. I would not be surprised if Orlando beat Cleveland. That's Dom's team. Dom's been on it from day one. Orlando is could be a feisty team with young talent, Wagner and Lonchero and Cole Anthony. So I think they could take Cleveland. I really do.
And how many games, though? How many games are you giving that one, though? Because I'm really curious about that one.
I'll give six to both Indiana, maybe five to Indiana, and I'll definitely give six for Orlando. I think they could take them, man. I think they can.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland didn't get out of first round for that head coach. That head coach got to win a playoff series. So what do you guys think on the other series in the East before we get to the West?
Personally, I'm pretty much in sync with you. I'm not ready to give Orlando their flowers yet, but they knock out Cleveland, they got them from me. I say they go seven games.
It could be.
No, I give Orlando five, right? Indiana six, seven. I know I'm talking about teetering on 6-7. I don't think Cleveland can keep up. Well, six, because I don't think Cleveland's front court is going to be able to keep up with them dudes running them. They're going to run them out the building. So, it's going to be very interesting, man. Like, it's going to be very, like, very interesting for these playoffs. Man. And the second and third rounds is going to be crazy. So, as much as I love my peoples, man, we riding uphill. And again, man, it goes to the limitations that I see that I'm not going to speak out loud and tell everybody about. But we need shot creators. We need shot creators. And like Alec Burke needs to resurrect himself from wherever he at. You know what I'm saying? And like, because we need him. We need fourth quarter Burke back. Like deeply, we need him back. So I'm just having so much fun feeling like a 90s Knicks again. That's the, you know what I'm saying? I feel like a kid again with loving this and being able to talk crap to everybody else. How long have I not talked crap about anybody else's team and them coming up in here having contests for other teams in the garden, you know what I'm saying? Celebrating other players, man. Come on, man. Brunson is at least third on that MVP. Third, fourth on that MVP situation, man. So I just can't wait for the playoffs. I just can't. And to Don's point, I want to play Philly. I would love to play Philly. I don't want to see Miami because Miami is going to fight. We're going to that, and that's going 6-7.
All right. Now,
I got Orlando beating Cleveland, Indiana beating Milwaukee, Knicks beating the play-in, Boston beating Orlando, Knicks beating Indy, and Shades of 1989 with Patrick Ewing hitting that three in the corner at Boston to put Boston to bed, and we advance.
Yeah.
We advance to the motherfucking finals. I'm claiming it right now, guys.
Dom Stradamus has spoken.
The Knicks beat Boston in six, go on to the championship, and I hope they play Denver because we've had their number the last couple of years, fellas. As much as I like Denver, the Knicks have had Denver's number the last couple of years. We can't deny that.
Nobody, we're not running from nobody now. All of the cats that were saying We should have ducked everybody, man. Look at how Milwaukee looking right now. You know what I'm saying? Look at everybody else that repositioned themselves and rested players not to come in there strong, man. We looking great right now.
Guys, let me tell you something. I said this for months. There's nobody in the Eastern Conference that should scare us that bad. Hence the reason we're the number two seed. This shit is not an accident, guys. This Eastern Conference has been for the taking all season long, and here we are, fellas.
All right. Now, what about the
West? Final round. Yeah, that's actually what it is. But one final round before we go to final thoughts. The Western Conference. We got Oklahoma City, the number one seed. They're waiting on the winner of the Sacramento, who eliminated the Golden State Warriors, and the New Orleans Pelicans. They will fight for the eighth seed because the Lakers have already beaten the Pelicans in the 7-8 game, and they will wait, and they will head to Denver to take on the defending champion and number two seed Denver Nuggets. Also, you got Minnesota and Phoenix, Clippers, and the Mavs. Steve, shoot.
All right. Number one, let's give props to the Golden State Warriors. They've had a great run in the 2010s, one of the better runs for an NBA franchise in the league's history. And they came short to the Sacramento Kings. So, you know, their legacy is cemented. You know, they had a hell of a run in the 2010s. All right, but I think Denver's the safest bet out of all the teams in the West. Don, we were wrong. We got to be wrong, man. We thought we picked Denver to win the division, but give props to OKC, right? OK fucking C. Give them props. Like, that is amazing, man. That is amazing what they've done this season. But in the long and short of it, I'm just summing it up. I just don't – Denver's – it's hard not to trust Denver. Denver's proven. They have the starting lineup, the big lineup. They go everything through number 15, Jokic. And then I just trust them the most, man, out of all the teams, man, because their starting lineup is the most balanced out of all the teams in the West. Whether it doesn't even matter to me, honestly, if Dallas beats the Clippers or Clippers beat the Dallas. I think, you know, I would pick the Clippers over Dallas. I would pick Phoenix over Minnesota. Wow. OKC, whoever it beats to play in. But I think it all comes through Denver at the end of the day because I trust them the most. I was trying to get stock with the Phoenix Suns, but it just can't buy any stock because I can't trust them, right? Because they have a score, but this, I don't know, man. They'll get through Minnesota, though. What are your thoughts, guys?
Go ahead, Life.
Yeah, Clippers over Mavs, you know what I'm saying? We want that pick to convey real nicely, man. Let us have our little pick, man, so we can do our thing.
We already get the pick.
Huh? No.
We already get the pick.
It got to convey. Yeah, no, it got to convey. It still got to convey. I mean, even though they're not seeded. If they just luck, if they imagine and luck out and get in the draft, they get number five. They still get to keep it. I think it's 10.
Right.
I think it conveys 10 or 15. But
I think it's top 8. But okay.
Yeah. No. Whatever it is, it's still got to convey. But since they did so well, it's more than most likely it's going to convey. But I just want to get it as low a seed as possible so we can. Yeah, you know, I don't want 24, you know, first round 24, no shit like that. That Suns and Wolves, man, that's gonna be crazy. That's gonna be a wild one. I can't even take that one, dude. I don't see it. You know, Denver coming out of their first round, and OKC. That's gonna be good too. I'm gonna pick OKC though. You know what I'm saying? I don't think the Kings can do it. I don't think they got enough, especially with Monk out. You know what I'm saying? So, wow. LeBron, let's salute LeBron, man, because he might give it up, man. You know what I'm saying? It's looking bleak for his son being in the NBA, any place he really want to go to. So, we might have seen the last of LeBron this year, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, he's still healthy. He still can get it. It's gonna be a wild. It's gonna be a wild, 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 wild west out there.
Nostradamus, the Western Conference.
All right, I have. If Malik Monk plays, Sacramento upsets OKC. The long and short of it is Dallas, Denver in the conference finals. Denver beats Dallas. Knicks beat Denver in six. I took the shortcut, guys. I don't see OKC getting by either the Clippers or Dallas. I got Dallas upsetting the Clippers because I'll tell you what, much as it sounds weird, I don't think there's no stopping Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic. And I don't think the Clippers have what it takes to stop them. I just don't see it, guys. So if you even get a partial from the rest of that team with Doncic and Kyrie doing what they're doing, they're sending the Clippers home. The Clippers are the Clippers, guys. They try to rest all year, and then all of a sudden think they could turn it on in the playoffs. Minnesota and Phoenix, I got Minnesota. Denver beats Minnesota. It's going to be the Knicks and the Knicks and the Nuggets in the championship. Knicks and six.
And for me, to close it out, yeah, I second everything Dom says. I got the Mavericks beating the Clippers. I just don't see the Clippers being able to stop Doncic and Kyrie. That two-headed monster, whenever each one of them are going on, it's pretty much curtains. And you have to stop them for four games. I don't see that happening. The Minnesota-Phoenix series is pretty much a toss-up because it also doesn't matter. Because whoever does win, they got to play the Nuggets, and the Nuggets are going to smoke either one of them. And OKC, I see OKC going to the second round. I don't know what y'all talking about. I think OKC can make the second round. You know, if they play against the Sacramento Kings or the New Orleans Pelicans, I think that they can beat them. But then they're gonna run into some playoff tested teams like either the Clippers or in my case the Mavericks. I think the Mavericks will eat them up because they have more moxie, more experience in the playoffs, and they know how to make more adjustments. And besides, OKC is a much younger team. So, you know, give them their flowers. They made the number one seed. They're going to the second round, in my opinion, and that's it. But I'm going with Dom. I think it's the Knicks and the Nuggets in the NBA finals, and I'm picking the Knicks to win that. I'm winning that in five or six games, and we're finally going to have our parade. That's the way I see it. Let's go around for final thoughts.
Good episode, guys. My final thoughts, good episode. I don't know, man. We've been having issues with the phones and all that shit. That ain't our fault. That's BTR. But be on the lookout for Knickerbocker as IG Lives. I think those are fantastic forums. I mean, you guys are already on it, man. But I'm talking about the listeners. But it's a good conversation on the IG Live, whatever, as far as next week. We'll see where we go. I don't know if it's going to be 8 p.m. or after a Knick game. Hopefully. Listen, Ab, I love the 8 p.m. slot. I'm getting old, man. Love the 8 p.m. slot. I really do, man.
The good news is that the next game on Saturday is at 6 p.m., so we're actually getting a little bit earlier. So whenever that game ends, we can actually still go on live, talk for about 35 to 40 minutes, and then we still have the rest of the night, and, you know, some of us old heads can make it to bed, drink our cup of warm milk and go to bed and, you know, be okay for Sunday. But because, hey, I didn't mean to ask you, what is going to be the program alert? Because, you know, the NHL playoff schedule just dropped, and the Rangers open up against the Senators on Sunday. So is there going to be a post game? Is there going to be an IG Live?
No. Nothing changes. Tuesday's hockey. Wednesday's basketball on this platform. Ain't nothing changed. If they have a game, we have a post game. If not, we come on at 8 o'clock and we do what we do. Ain't nothing changed.
RP, basically what he's trying to tell you is that you need to do what I do and hold your own IG Live after game one on Sunday, because I'm going to want to talk to you about the New York Rangers. I'm very psyched. I have the feeling of 94 in me, and a lot of people do
have a lot of shit going on, right? Think about it. Rangers, Knicks, right? You had the Yankees were doing great along with the Montreal Expos in 94. But then you had the OJ shit. It's all fucking – there's a lot of shit is parallel with 94. It's fucking crazy how it works like that.
Rest in hell, OJ.
Yeah. All right, man, I'm out, man. Go ahead. We'll get to the rest of the final thoughts.
All right, Mr. Live, your final thoughts, please.
I would love for the next couple of days, man, to see the league catch up and give my man Brunson and the Knicks team as a whole some respect. As Don mentioned, there is no other team in the NBA that went through this much adversity and came out on top and stayed on top. They kept their position, didn't fall back. You understand what I'm saying? We might have seen six, seven up for a couple of maybe a week or something. We killed this season, man. This season is a special season for us, man. Let's keep it going. Let's root for our team, man. Let's get these jerseys out. Let's commemorate the 90s, but let's also salute these brothers, man, who fought real hard, man, and gave us a great, great regular season. Let's go Knicks in the playoffs, man.
You know, Live, I know your tagline is no crispy jerseys, but you know what I found at Marshall's the other day? I found a crispy Marcus Camby jersey from 99.
That's the respect.
No respect.
Yeah. Yeah.
No respect, I mean, at Marshall's, of all places.
Yeah, no. Even though that was I was in France when he got traded to the Knicks, and I shed a tear for Oakley on that, man. Every time I think of Marcus Camby, I think about them trading him for Oakley. So it's bittersweet, you know what I mean? But
It is. Thank you very much, Mr. Live. I'll be seeing you on Saturday, Dominic.
Yes, sir.
Domstradamus, your final thoughts, please.
Real quick, guys, is next Wednesday 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock?
Depending on the game, depending on the series.
They don't play on Wednesday.
So it will be at 8 p.m.
It'll
be at 8 p.m. then. 8 p.m.
Okay.
You know, I thought people need to get a rest.
My final thought is, man, the Knicks' first playoff game is a hard one. That happens to be my anniversary. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I might have to watch it on my watch, but I'm gonna try my hardest. You know, I don't think it's my wife and I's 41st anniversary. So
congratulations, my friend.
Yeah, we're beyond all the milestones and all that shit. But my actual final thought is my undying love and support for Steve Kerr has me saying I don't give a damn. I'm glad their run is over. They should have canceled this run, too. I heard something weird today. They have not made the playoffs in 2 out of the last 4 years. Well, 5 years, some shit like that. But, again,
right.
My undying love for Steve Kerr, I am glad the genie's out the bottle. They have to rebuild like every other team had to rebuild. They should have did it earlier. But, hey, they decided to run with the old goats and the old regime, and here we are. They're home. Everybody moves on. And at the end of the day, guys, man, we haven't seen a year like this with the New York Knicks for quite some time. I will not go back to that 2012-13 team because that was the AARP team. We knew the wheels were going to come off that sooner or later. This is a different animal, guys. We got heart. We got youth. We got shooting. We got a playmaker. We got a point guard. We got two centers. We got shit we haven't seen in a while, guys. Let's keep this rhythm. Let's go New York, go New York, go. And we're going to go all the way to the NBA Finals, guys. And I thank y'all immensely. We got to keep this up. Go Knicks.
Go Knicks.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And it's now time for my final thought. You know, we started this show, this episode, you know, and I talked a little bit about this being my, you know, probably my final season as Knickerbocker Avenue. And, it's a little emotional, but the reality is that what a way to go out. My final year, and you're going to find me at the Canyon of Heroes. Just picture it now, folks. In the second week of June, every one of us on this platform, around the world listening to this very show, the true form for the fans, the Bleed Blue Show. And we're going to be over out there on the Canyon of Heroes, and we're going to be finally enjoying an orange and blue ticker tape parade because the Larry O'Brien Trophy has
finally arrived. The New York Knicks will end a 51-year curse. And I'm going to cry my eyes out. I am going to hug my father and thank him for always making, for, you know, for making me a Knicks fan. I'm going to hug each one of my brothers on this panel if they're there with me. If I find you guys, I know it's going to be a mob scene, but I'm going to find you guys, and I'm going to give you a fucking hug. I'm going to hug my boy Dre. I'm going to hug my children. I'm going to hug my wife. I'm going to hug my dog. I'm going to hug every single person that has ever made this team more important for me as Knickerbocker Avenue for the last 13, 14 years that I've been doing this. And I'm going to cry. And I'm going to thank the basketball gods and, of course, the Almighty One himself that finally, because I believe it in my soul, I believe it in my heart, and I believe it in, just like Domstradamus himself has just predicted, the New York Knicks, the number two seed, the 50-win New York Knicks, the 2023-2024 New York Knicks will be NBA champions. And you heard it here on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. Not from fucking some fake fan on the big network, not on some crazy ass podcast with 3 million followers. No, you heard it right from this guy. The New York Knicks will be NBA champions. I feel it in my soul. And if you feel on it, I want you to, wherever you're listening to this, whether you're at the gym, at work, on the train, you know, in your car listening to us, I want you to yell out, "Go New York, go New York, go." I'm Knickerbocker Ave on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and on Threads. Follow me on an autograph. Use my code Knickerbocker Ave. Get some points. And I'll see you next week. 8 p.m. 8 p.m. Eastern. By then, the Knicks will be up 2, maybe 3-0 over whoever we play. Knickerbocker Ave out. Have a good night, everybody.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep.